I'm sure we're all extremely happy this morning to have Elder John Longdon with us as our assembly speaker to give us a devotional talk. As Elder Longdon is an assistant to the Council of the Twelve, he's well known and loved by all of us, and therefore requires no special introduction from me. I might say, however, that during all of the days of his life, he's been very active in the church and has held many important church positions. Also, until he was appointed as a general authority, he was active and successful in business and civic affairs. He was appointed as an assistant to the Council of the Twelve about 12 years ago in 1951. Since that time, he has traveled throughout the world in the service of our Lord and our church. It's a great pleasure for me now to turn over the assembly hour for our devotional worship to Brother Longdon.
Before going forward with that which I would like to say this morning, I want to commend the leaders of this great institution and the faculty and you students for being present in such goodly numbers at this assembly. And it's my understanding that this is not an unusual practice, it's common. That there are more attend these assemblies than any other functions or athletic events that might be held here. So I sincerely commend you for that desire and to feed upon the Spirit of the Lord. President Crockett and President Barrett and others, I'm grateful for this privilege this morning. And I recognize the depth of the prayer which was offered, invoking the Spirit of the Lord. I was particularly impressed with one thought, which went something like this, that we might be better servants to each other and to Thee, the Lord our God. The reason this is emphasized upon my mind at this time is because it ties in with the thoughts that I have been meditating upon in preparation for this assignment. I wonder how many of you occasionally, as you read the headlines in the newspapers, and you might be prone to meditate upon some of the things which are happening around the world, and as you hear the news or see the news on television, say, oh, what's the use? What's the use? We're devising all these things to destroy the physical body, but I pray that we will always understand the spirit body cannot be destroyed only by we ourselves. And in that meditation, you may feel, let's live it up. What's the use? Let's live it up. Therefore, the need for getting hold of our senses through these gatherings and associations. I have here a quotation from President McKay, July the 1st, 1960. Man has subdued nature, conquered seas, conquered distance, and is now penetrating space, but he has not yet learned to conquer himself. Nor is he even now putting forth comparable effort to subdue and master lingering animal tendencies and passions which, when dominant, may destroy him. This comes from our prophet and mouthpiece in the earth today, the direct representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe it's just as timely today as it was when he gave it 2 years ago. Let us meditate for a moment that these conditions are not new. There have always existed, more or less, conditions comparable to what we are facing today. May I remind you that Christ was born in a time of tyranny, yet he was the Prince of Peace. He died a victim of that tyranny, yet he taught a gospel of love, of reconciliation with our neighbors. He was the personification of harmony and good feeling. And what is the basis of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We are told God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so this Son, who was given because he conformed with the thoughts and the desires, exercising his free agency of his heavenly, eternal Father, literal Father, I say because of this, he was willing to give his life. And then, as he came to mortality and dwelled here for some 33 years, one of his great teachings, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Well, someone has said, even guns are silent in the face of love. We hear a lot about love. It's a great, deep, abiding principle. A love that truly wishes good to every human being. Is that the kind of love in our hearts? A love that would stop wars and permit mankind to enjoy happiness and prosperity. Love that would turn atomic energy into peaceful uses only. Love that would humbly acknowledge God and live by the wisdom of his laws. Love that would follow the Savior's dictum, "Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you." I say that this principle of love is a deep abiding principle. It has deep roots. It isn't something that's shallow on the surface. May we break it down for a moment this morning. I believe it's composed of many characteristics. Sometimes I have referred to them as ingredients of love. What are some of them? One is patience. Love suffereth long. Are you willing to suffer long? Have you suffered in the same degree as the Master, Jesus Christ? Would we ever be called upon to suffer as he suffered? And yet he did it for us because he loved us. kindness and is kind. We sing the hymn many times, let us oft speak kind words to each other. If we could just realize that there is so much more accomplished of a worthwhile nature when we do speak in kind words and kind tones rather than harsh tones and unkind words. Yes, the need for more kindness to each other today. Are we as kind as we should be if someone pulls in ahead of us to take the parking space we were just about ready to drive into? Or do we have many things running through our minds which are not good to publish here? Generosity is another ingredient. Love envieth not. Do we envy what others have? Or do we feel to realize, and we can, that God has given us sound minds and bodies and faculties with which to work and to accumulate and acquire honestly, if we will put forth the energy and industry to accomplish? We do not envy what others have then. When we think of generosity, we think of giving, generally speaking. But I like to look at it in this light as thus expressed. The opportunity to work and to accumulate that which is necessary to sustain life for ourselves and others as we come to that marital state. Another ingredient is humility. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Are we as humble as we might be? Do we recognize the need of that divine assistance? I am so grateful for that invocation this morning. I know I cannot stand here alone. And with an answer to that great prayer, I will not stand here alone. Not just because of the prayer which was offered and myself, but because of your faith and your desire to be fed spiritually this morning. Thinking about this principle or ingredient of humility, there are many lessons in the Old and the New Testament. We have them in all the standard works of the church. But there is one parable which appeals to me in the life of the Master, and he was a great teacher in parables. You will recall it. You've heard it many times. I would like to refresh your minds this morning regarding the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee wanted to stand in the marketplace and let people know that he paid his tithes and offerings. That is a secret between you and God. But he wanted it known, apparently. He exercised his free agency. And then in his utterance, he recognized this poor, lowly publican. And he said he was grateful that he was not like unto this poor, lowly publican. The publican, as we are told, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Savior gave the great lesson. I tell you, this man, speaking of the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, and he that exalteth himself shall be abased. I say, if there was no other lesson regarding this characteristic of humility, certainly that would be sufficient. Regardless of our attainments, whether it be in church, whether it be in school, whether it be in business, or civic organizations, we will always be humble and recognize the hand of God. Another is courtesy. Love doth not behave itself unseemingly. Can we apply that in our lives? Oh, we as young people, it's wonderful to see some of you sitting holding hands. That takes me back many years. And then I had a young returned missionary come up to me this morning. Why, it was wonderful to see the glow on his face. I knew he was happy deep down in his soul and heart. He'd found the companion of his choice, and apparently she has, because they're going to the altar in a couple of days. But let us meditate upon this matter of courtesy for a moment. Love doth not behave itself unseemingly. Are we always in a position where if the Savior should come, we wouldn't have any feeling of embarrassment? How we need to apply this ingredient in our lives, all of us, regardless of age, if we desire to have that spirit of love abiding in our heart. Unselfishness is another. Love seeketh not her own. And here again, all we need to do is follow the pattern and example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came absolutely to lose himself in the service of others, forgetting himself for others. I think of a few lines penned by Charles D. Meigs from an experience that happened years ago by General Booth, who wanted to send a message at Christmas time and New Year's to every Salvation Army post throughout the world. And he wanted to send it by cable and telegram, and he recognized the great cost, and so he boiled it down to one word. He did send that message by cable and telegram to every Salvation outpost in the world. That word was others. Charles D. Meigs caught the vision of it. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be of others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain my efforts be to raise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live for thee. Another is good temper. Good temper is not easily provoked. Love is not easily provoked. And how many times have you experienced that? Just the opposite. Walking along the street one day in Salt Lake City, this would be in Salt Lake City, of course, a gentleman just a few steps or paces in front of me, and a sign happened to be hanging just a little low over the sidewalk, or else he was rather tall and his hat hit there, and he was dressed in overalls, rather dirty, working man, gave evidence of that. But this dirty hat already, it isn't as if it was a clean one, and then he would have to send it to the cleaners again, hit the sidewalk, and you should have heard the oaths coming out of his mouth. Good temper is not easily provoked, regardless of what the situations may be. Oh, I know it takes willpower and courage and strength, but you have it if you desire it. Guilelessness. Love thinketh no evil. Wouldn't it be wonderful if no evil was thought of? It must be thought of first before it becomes an act. So remember, young people, guilelessness, love thinketh no evil. I'll give you one more. There are many others that you may add. Sincerity. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Are we prone sometimes to rejoice in things which are not sincere, which bring to pass iniquity? May we always be found striving to rejoice in truth. Truth emanates from God, our eternal Father, and He is the fountain source of it. Untruth and half-truth come from the evil one. I love to read Paul in Corinthians, the 13th chapter, from which this inspiration came pertaining to these ingredients or characteristics. And you will recognize, as we meditate upon this principle of love, it is a deep abiding principle. It isn't something shallow or on the surface. That's the positive. What is the negative, the opposite, or ingredients of the dark and loveless soul? Jealousy, anger, pride, uncharity, cruelty, self-righteousness, touchiness, doggedness, sullenness, and so on. Paul has given us a great lesson. Edwin Markham, the white-haired prophet, made a statement which I like along this subject. And thinking of the progress that is being made scientifically in all the wonderful machines of automation and so on, he brings us up short when he said, the way things are going, we had better learn to do things machines can't do. Love each other, for instance. Henry Ward Beecher has given many excellent expressions, and here is one. If you want your neighbor to see what the Christ Spirit will do for him, let him see what it has done for you. Now I'd like to quote from President J. Reuben Clark, Jr. God bless his memory. The great leader that he was, stalwart in the faith. Now God has placed in every man's heart a divine spark, which never wholly goes out. It may grow dim, it may become hidden, almost smothered by the ashes of transgression, but the spark still lives and glows, and can be fanned into flame by faith if the heart is touched. This is true of all save of them who commit the unpardonable sin. And few can do this, for to do so requires greater spiritual knowledge than is vouched to most men. He makes reference to a spark within. And I think it is that spark of love. We truly love God. We truly love Jesus Christ. We give evidence of it because of our acts, which conform to His teachings. We love our neighbor. We love our work for the great privileges which are ours. And I wonder at this juncture how recent you have written to your parents or other relatives who may be supporting you in this great institution to give your expression of love and gratitude and thanksgiving for the opportunities which are yours. I pray that we might be more thoughtful, show greater appreciation for the blessings which are ours. And this is the way we acknowledge our love to our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We have a great power. Every one of us who have been baptized members of this church had hands laid upon our head for the reception of the Holy Ghost, a great boon or favor from our Heavenly Father that will help and guide us through life. Parley P. Pratt has given to me a marvelous definition of this power. I believe the best I've read. It's recorded on page 487 of the Articles of Faith or on page 100 of the 1948 edition of Key to Theology by Parley P. Pratt. Speaking of the Holy Ghost, he said, "It inspires virtue, kindness, goodness, tenderness, gentleness, and charity. It develops beauty of person, form, and features. It tends to health, vigor, animation, and social feeling. It develops and invigorates all the faculties of the physical and intellectual man. It strengthens, invigorates, and gives tone to the nerves." Do you require tone to the nerves on occasion? Outside of examination time, too, I'm thinking of. "In short, it is, as it were, marrow to the bone, joy to the heart, light to the eyes, music to the ears, and life to the whole being." Yes, my brothers and sisters, I believe with all my heart the will of God prevails, regardless of what we may see in the headlines or hear on radio or television. And I have a firm conviction without Him all human reliance is vain. Without the assistance of that divine being, I cannot succeed. With that assistance, I cannot fail. God help us to put into practice then these two great commandments. As we've meditated upon them this morning, and get a little deeper meaning from them, to love God with all our heart, might, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself, that we may be in possession of His Spirit and yield only to the promptings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that love in our hearts and that dedication, we will have the power to subdue the evil one and his temptings, which will destroy not only the body, but the spirit. Ours is a great heritage to have membership in this church, as mentioned in the opening prayer. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the witness and testimony I have. God bless us to truly be better servants to each other and to our God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.